Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
But we've got our first guest in already, haven't we, Maggie?
It's the lovely Richard Smout. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon, Maggie. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon. Can I just get you slightly closer to that microphone? That'd be great. Yep, thank you very
indeed.
Much. Lovely. Now, Richard, just tell us, just remind the listeners where you're from. You're from...
Yeah, so I'm from the County Record Office, which is up on Hillside in Newport. And I've been based there for the last 25 years or so.
Nearly 2 minutes walk from our studio.
Yes, indeed. Yep, it's very good. And a bit more convenient.
It's a bit longer when you forget your glasses and you've got to go
back. It is longer when I forget my glasses, yes. It shocked me, well and truly.
But and also people can go in there by appointment or at various times as well.
Yeah, we're open 4 days a week, so that's Monday and then Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Yep.
Okay. Now, you generally have a topic to talk about, so what is it this week?
Yeah, so this week I thought I'd talk about some parish records. So these are records that were created by local churches. Mm-hmm. An example I've got here is St. Helens, and St. Helens in the late 18th and early 19th century. And they're interesting because they show the parishes responsible for a range of things that perhaps we wouldn't expect them to do now.
Okay.
The other thing to say is that St. Helens is not just the village of St. Helens at this time. So it includes Seaview and Nettleston and Springvale and Apley and St. John. So the boundaries were larger than we think of as St. Helens nowadays.
So it's quite a large area.
Yeah, that's a huge area, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and even up until 1933, there was a St. Helens Urban District Council.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Been around for about 40 years, and that covered all of that area of the ancient parish.
Mm. Interesting.
Anyway, the sort of records you get, that there are two types that I've brought along. One are the church warden's accounts, and one set are the accounts of the overseers of the poor. The church wardens are interesting because a lot of those expenses are the ones you'd expect a church warden to have nowadays. So, for instance, they are paying 18 shillings and sixpence in 1804 for bread and wine for the sacraments for Holy Communion.
That's a lot of money in those days.
It's a lot of money, yes. Now, there were lots of sort of set costs that they had. And then there were one-off costs. So the church might be asked to have a particular service of prayer for a particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
So here we've got prayer for the abundant harvest in 1801, mm-hmm. which cost 1 shilling and 6 pence.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not many people had those prayer books because not many people could read, but it was important that the key people taking the service had them.
Yes.
And then a form of prayer for the defeat of the late conspiracies against the king. So that was King George III, and there were a couple of assassination plots against him about this time.
Okay.
So this is probably a sort of Thanksgiving here. If you go a few years back, there's forms of prayer for the victory over the French fleet by Admiral Nelson. And that's the Battle of the Nile in 1798.
These are tied in with major historical events as well, then?
Yes, yes. Mm. So there's normally a story behind each one of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Can be for the safe confinement of the queen if she's, you know, giving birth to children during the king's reign. So there's a whole range of items.
That's an old-fashioned term, isn't it? Confinement.
Confinement, yes.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then there are expenses like binding the church Bible.
Oh.
So that was would have been a large Bible, and it cost a guinea, so £1 and 1 shilling to do that. So that is a goodly sum of money.
It is.
Mending church windows, mending the churchyard hedge, striping is the term they use, the striping of the hedge.
Oh. I've not heard of striping.
No, I think it's a sort of fairly vigorous cut as far as I know. But
sounds vigorous.
It does sound, yeah. There's a touch of the shredding of it to it, isn't it? And then the things that really fascinate me are the payments, this little set of payments, which I'll explain in a moment. So for 180 dozen of bird's heads at tuppence per dozen, so that was £1.10. For 67 hedgehogs at 4 pence each, £1, 2 shillings and 4 pence. For 19 hawks at 6 pence each, and 4 stoats at 6 pence each. And for 2 kites So what's happening here is that the church wardens were responsible for controlling what were regarded as vermin.
Okay.
Right. So they're on an early form of pest control. And the birds' heads would be for seed-eating birds. So they would be sparrows, finches, buntings, that sort of thing. And this was a great corn-growing area on the island.
Oh, right.
And there was worries, because this is around the time of our wars with France, that there wouldn't be enough food. And so these bounties were paid for the killing of animals. And what's extraordinary is the sheer scale, the sheer number of birds being killed, but also that it was sustainable year after year, which implies to me that there must have been really good habitat for the rest of them to breed in. So there weren't too pressures. I imagine if it was sustained for a very, very long time, that would have been a huge issue. But the hedgehogs are interesting, because nowadays, you know, we're extremely fond of hedgehogs, and they were listed, I think, this week as a species of conservation concern something like that. And I think the reason that hedgehogs are listed is because it was thought that they were responsible for taking milk from cows. It was one of these really long-standing traditions. Now, I'm getting some very strange looks from Maggie here.
They don't drink milk, do they?
Well, it's not just what they drink, it's the idea of hedgehogs bounding up and down on trampolines, I think, to get to a cow.
The difference in size in the creatures is quite dramatic.
I think the idea was the cows were lying down. Yes. So when they lay down, they were vulnerable to that. Now, I don't know. I mean, when I was young, people used to put out milk, and sometimes hedgehogs were there, but I don't think it was supposed to do them any good.
No.
I don't think it's approved of at all doing that. But that was, they were seen as a pest for that reason. And there were enough, slightly alarmingly, for that number of hedgehogs to have been killed within that area.
Oh.
So now, quite rightly, we treasure them. But this is a very different age that we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
A very different set of values. So, fortunately, church wardens nowadays don't have that particular task. I don't think we'd have many volunteers for the role if they did.
You've got to go and catch the hedgehogs, yes.
Yes, indeed, yeah. So that would be that's one aspect of it. And you can imagine that sort of small lads would have earned quite a lot of sort of pocket money by doing those sort of things, bringing in money for the family. It would have been one means that they could have helped out with the family's resources at that particular time.
Go out and catch some hedgehogs, Nipper.
Mind you don't get prickled.
The other one are sort of accounts for the poor law. So when Henry VIII got rid of all the monasteries and the religious houses, there needed to be a system of looking after and caring for the poor. And this was brought down to parish level. So everybody paid taxes locally, depending on how much land they had, and it was based on land. And that money was spent out, and there are accounts each year to show the money that comes in and the money that goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite an interesting variety of things that money has been spent on. So we're now in 1750, still in St. Helens.
Yeah.
So we have a hat for Pat Griffin, and that is sixpence by the looks of it. A coverlet and two blankets for the widow Griffin. I don't know if the widow Griffin is the same as Pat Griffin or not. And that's 14 shillings.
Ooh.
For two aprons for Mary Dean, that's fourpence. For a pair of stockings for Bet Dean, that is 1 shilling. And for a cap for her, that's also fourpence by the looks of it.
Would there have been uniforms, do you think? Aprons and caps?
I don't think so in this particular area. I think it's probably just giving them protective covering.
Okay.
But they may have needed it if they were going into service. So it's possible that this is a woman who's been apprenticed into possibly what they called house withery.
Yeah.
And to do that, she would have needed aprons, or it may have been protective clothing. It's hard to be sure.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Cheese and a pad of butter for Widow Bartlett. And we're also getting, she also gets a bottle and drops and bleeding her. So, you know, the idea of taking blood out of somebody's arm to help them. So those are all the sorts of expenses you're getting there. For a warrant to oblige several people skulking in the parish to appear before the justices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great phrase, skulking, to have in 1750. But obviously they were thought to be ne'er-do-wells, and they were going
lurking suspiciously
to find out more about them.
Mm. Yeah, because we didn't have a police service in those days, did we?
No, there wasn't a... Well, the police forces, as we think of them nowadays, don't come along till the sort of 1840s. So they're the bobbies, they're named after Sir Robert Peel.
Yeah.
But there were local individuals who were brought together in groups who could take custody of people. Oh, so right. there was a security system, but it was much more a duty placed on individuals within the parish rather than a police force.
Well, it's interesting they need to get a warrant to effectively collect these people together who they thought were not doing anything to the good of the parish.
Oh, yes, there was a whole system of magistrates going along, so all that court system is very much in place. And then there's paid for marrying John Bull and Moll Ubstall. And they pay for the clerk who's going to marry them for a shilling, for the licence and an oath. That's £1.11. That's incredibly expensive.
That's quite a lot of money.
Yeah. For horse hire, which I don't know whether that's going to get them to the church on time or what, but that's 3 shillings and 6p. And this sounds all rather nice until you get to the next one, which is expenses in apprehending and attending Bull with the constable, and that is, again, one of these parish constables that I'm talking about, in relation to the marrying of him and Moll Ubstall. So what this implies, I think, is that the wedding wasn't something that Mr. Bull was intending to do.
Shotgun wedding type thing.
He probably had left Moll Ubstall with a baby on the way, and the parish wanted to make sure that she was properly cared for, and the person that should be doing that caring was the dad.
Right.
And therefore they arranged and paid for a marriage, but he certainly doesn't seem to have been enormously keen on that one.
Right, yeah, that's a reasonable interpretation of that, isn't it? Because otherwise you'd have paid for your own wedding largely.
Yes, yes. And so obviously there are costs. It looks as if the person's run away, run off to Newport or somewhere far away to try and avoid the responsibility.
Needed the horse to go and get him.
Well, I think it is. I think that horse hire is probably exactly what we're talking about there. Yeah. So, less sensationally, we've got a coat, a hat and an apron for young Todgham. And a whole range of items. These ones I quite like. Paid Leonard Tanner for the digging the parish garden at Nettleston.
Mm-hmm.
And paid for 1,000 of plants and a gallon of beans, which is a measure of beans, at 3 shillings. And also paid for molten hops for the parish tub, 10 shillings and 5p. So that implies that the parish was doing its own brewing.
Well, yes, it does, doesn't it? It does. And of course, they did in those days. Brewing in the church or the monks was quite closely intertwined.
Yes, you get a lot of accounts in the church, going back to the church warden's accounts, of people being paid for beer.
Okay.
And workmen who came to the church would be expected to, be provided with beer and be provided with drink for that particular purpose. Absolutely. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just to clarify that, beer was one way you could maintain water in a
well, yes.
A drinkable state.
Yeah. So drinking water wasn't always a particularly brilliant idea in certain areas. Although, of course, we need to remember that St. Helens actually was an area that must have had good supplies of water, because the fleets, the ships used to take on water from there. So I think it was just, you know, if you get beer in Newchurch or in God's Hill, where the wells might not be so good, then you were jolly well going to have beer in St. Helens if you were working there.
Well, quite so, yes. You might not trust the water, no matter what they say about
it. Oh, yeah, no. You know, it sounds like a weak excuse that you're just trying to stop people getting their beer. But it was, it was a major a feature. And they have things called church ales, which are more sort of more festival-like
events. Yes.
Which were quite
fascinating
significant.
Fascinating stuff.
Mm. All that story from what looks on the face of it like a dry set of accounts.
Yes.
Which is fascinating, isn't it? If you look at it and think about what's going on there.
And I think it shows the huge range of responsibilities that folk had within a parish. I mean, they were all volunteers, in effect, if we sort of put the modern analogy back in time. They must have had very respectable standing to do that.
Pillars of the community type people, but as you say, doing it as a volunteer.
Although you were elected as overseers, so there may have been a sort of turn and turn about on that side of things, because I imagine that some of the tasks were less popular than other ones, and going around and asking for money from people that didn't want to give money for poor relief must have been a very onerous
item. Yes, it must have had the door slammed in your face several times. Yep. I would have thought.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. Yeah. It's a shame we have to stop.
Yes, all these church records are really fascinating.
They are.
And there must be loads of them.
Yes, there are. There's pretty good survival. I mean, they don't survive for every parish for this period, but we do have, this period around the 18th, early 19th century, we've got some pretty good accounts. And I say a lot of them refer to that sparrows' heads and stoats. And
the bounties on
and the bounties
pests.
Stoats and weasels.
Fascinating. Thank you, Richard. That was really, really interesting.
Absolutely brilliant. Yes. Yeah.
And if you want,
I don't think he enjoys history.
If you want any more? But the thing is, it's bringing it to life, isn't it?
It's
because you've got
this
guy who we think from the parish accounts had got his girlfriend pregnant and then cleared off.
Yep.
And then the constable sent to bring him back on a horse they had to pay for. It's fascinating stuff. Thank you, Richard. We'll see you again next month, I think.
Yes, that'll be a real pleasure.
And we'll have another topic for you to discuss.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing@vectisradio.fm.